The case that I remember, and I wish I could bring to mind all the facts, one of the cases by name, I believe, was Myers. I don't think the Myers case was the one I participated in. I think that was the one that had occurred before I came on the court. But there was a series of cases having to do, if I'm not mistaken, with the principle of the liability of eleemosynary institutions for their torts of negligence. And the old common law rule having been that eleemosynary institutions were immune from liability for negligent actions. Apparently the thought was that it was a way to encourage the good nuns and other groups of people to establish hospitals and other facilities for the poor, and that you didn't want to visit on them civil liability for having failed to do their good works in a completely non-negligent fashion. It would be similar, I suppose, to legislation that we have enacted recently, the so-called Good Samaritan laws, the policy being that you want to encourage people to be the Good Samaritan, to assist someone they find to be in trouble without worrying about being sued. That was the old common law rationale for the immunity of eleemosynary institutions. In the late 50s and 60s here in the state of Michigan, that issue came up in connection with hospital liability and malpractice and so forth. And there were some decisions by our court which, as I recall, established the rule, changed the common law rule, and established the rule that these institutions were, in fact, liable for their negligent torts. And again, I'm doing this from memory. It seems to me that this was the principle of law involved. One of the debates among the judges was, if you're going to change the common law by a court decision, should you do it prospectively or retroactively? There was always the argument that a great many people relied on the law as it then existed, that insurance contracts were written based on the law as it had previously existed, and that there was a certain amount of equity or fairness on the side of those who relied on old court decisions and so forth for making their business judgments. And you really had about, you really had three different ways in which the courts talked about changing the common law. One was simply to decide the case in favor of the plaintiff and say, we're changing the common law, you can now sue a hospital. And because the old law doesn't apply, because times have changed, or because the old law was a mistake in the first place, or whatever, but we're going to do that. And simply not say about what cases it applies to at all, which would basically mean that anyone who had a claim against a hospital that wasn't barred by the statute of limitations, that is, anyone who had a claim against a hospital that was no more than 2 or 3 years old, could come in and start their lawsuit. And the courts, if they followed that precedent, would listen to them. the argument there would be that for the defendant would be, hey, we bought an insurance policy based on the old law. We didn't cover our negligence because we weren't liable in the old days. Now you're going to make us pay for this these torts of malpractice out of our own pocket because we're not insured. Had we known you were going to do this to us, we would have insured ourselves. In the face of that argument, the courts did two other things. One was to say, all right, we will decide this case before us, this case of Jones or Smith, whoever it was the lead actor, the groundbreaker who brought the case and who made the argument for overturning the common law rule and making a new common law rule. And in his case, we would let the plaintiff win. But we would say to the world, we're not going to do this except for other cases that occur where the case itself, the injury itself occurs after today's date. So all those the cases that would be in the pipeline, the 3 years, the last 3 years, those people are out of luck. But anybody who has the good fortune or misfortune of being the victim of malpractice from today forward will have a lawsuit. So that was another approach that they took. But of course the logical problem with that was that the plaintiff in this case did not have a claim that arose from this after this date. So the plaintiff in this case, his claim is 2 or 3 years old. In effect, you are holding in favor of the plaintiff on a case that's 2 or 3 years old in one case. And then saying to the world that everybody else who was injured the same day this guy was isn't going to be able to collect. By definition, you're creating an unfair and inequitable and discriminatory application of the common law rule. Well, among the arguments that some may have made about that was, well, that's true, it's discriminatory. You're treating this man different than everybody else who was injured the same day in the same place or whatever. But it's a reward we're extending to this particular plaintiff for having taken the trouble to come all the way to the Supreme Court. And he's sort of, the prize he gets is that he gets to win his case, whereas everybody else injured the day that he was injured cannot win. I always thought that was a ludicrous argument, and it had nothing to do with the justice of the cause, you know, to say that somehow you're going to reward this person for having overturned the law. So with that logical difficulty, there was a group of people who took a different view, and they said, yes, that's true, it would be unfair to reward this particular plaintiff. And let's be logical. So let's say this. From this day forward, everybody who's injured by the malpractice of a hospital has a claim. But this plaintiff doesn't have a claim. And anybody whose claim arose before this date doesn't have a claim. So we're going to hold in favor of the defendant hospital in this case. And we're going to deny this plaintiff's claim. But we're going to announce that from today forward, the rule will be different. That was the so-called true prospectivity type of a decision. Now think about that. Here's a court of 7 elected justices deciding this case in favor of the defendant. You ask, what was their decision? Their decision was that the Ely Mossenary Institution is immune from liability, as it has always been under the common law. That's the rule of law which they applied to the facts in this case. And that's how they arrived at their decision. But now, having done so, and having carried out what they're paid to do as judges, and having done it in the great tradition of the common law by using precedent, they now say, as an addendum or whatever, aha, but the next time a case like this comes in, if the injury occurred after today, we'll make a different decision. Think about that. I mean, they're telling the world what they're going to do in the future in a different case. That is, if dicta means anything, that's dicta, okay? It's just, they might as well write a law review article.